Methodist Church was ahead of everybody head and children's in the white world of presenting the challenge to be critical, to be smart, to be compassionate, Christian. And I'll forever be thankful for that. And in fact, it just kind of set me up for, you know, what my destiny was. It never occurred to me that I could do anything but pursue that agenda. Well, you know, when I got a little smarter, that is, got a little more training in theology and all, I understood, you know, my mission to be, to make it too succinct. My mission was to the white world, not the black world. You know, I don't need to go help black folk. I need, which is relatively easy, by the way, in a sense, because there's a lot more compassion and a lot more need that's on the surface in the black community. The difficult thing, finally, was to figure out how to help the white world do right, be more just, be more accepting, and so forth. And I have, at various times, been very pompous and very wrong in my judgments against my white colleagues, but I've been fairly consistent in that. I'm not as much as I used to be, but I could raise hell faster than anybody you know about the way we behave. And I learned finally it was the way we behave, not the way they behave. Complicity is rather obvious, and my complicity. But nevertheless, somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to raise hell. Somebody's got to say no. Somebody's got to be a prophet. And I never thought of myself as a prophet, although I think I played a prophetic role. But well, I don't know where I was going with that. Cut it off a minute.
How did you first get involved in working with City Arts?
Through the church. When I was an officer in the North Alabama Conference Youth Fellowship when I was in college, I've already told you we went off to Jim Luskey once, and I was kind of got my initial exposure and my baptism fire. It wasn't real heavy, I must say. It was rather easy introduction into an integrated community. But later, over that year and the next year, and maybe the next, I don't remember, but the church provided those of us who were leaders, youth leaders, with the opportunity to go to all kind of conferences. Didn't never go farther than Oklahoma, but that was far enough. It was out of the South. It was out of Birmingham. I went to Nashville a lot, and went to North Carolina a lot. But the experiences were deliberately set up to give us the optimum chances of thinking critically about those days and how we wanted to act in those days and how we wanted to train as leaders for the future. At least I did not engage in a lot of the so-called civil rights activities. I didn't ride on buses, I didn't march, I just wandered around those places. The year that Birmingham really jumped up and made lots of noise, I wasn't even in the country, I was in Central America. Again, a key experience in my life. The church youth department, the diocese, the conference youth department sent me to Panama to work in the interior with people who didn't have any money, with a missionary who was from Alabama, lived with his family. And so I was exposed to dirt poverty, third world poverty. People lived on the ground, you know, in straw dumps. Not everybody, but most everybody I saw. I was exposed to a church that was trying to be faithful and being where the people were and responding to their mundane needs and their needs for justice. It would reflect with them critically on their political situation. So it was I came back. I was in Bongo, way up on a volcanic mountain. We'd gotten up by walking and riding donkeys. Stay there for 2 or 3 weeks. Just incredible. And we helped build houses and outhouses, depots for the outhouses, wells. We cut the trees down and we sawed them by hand, like this, to get rubber. We got close to the people. We worked side by side with the people who live there. A person came in on a horse one day, had a bunch of newspapers, 3 or 4 weeks ago, they brought up from Panama City, 300 to 400 miles away. And on the front page of one of the letters, this big, Birmingham, Alabama explodes. So in Spanish, these people ask us, "Are y'all from Birmingham?" And we said, "Yes." "Yep, what do you make of this?" And so they started reading to us how white people were killing white people because the black folks wanted some rights in America. So that was a day of reckoning, one of those other significant days in my life. I said, nothing could be more sharply put to me than that. Well, we left that region and went down the hill and got on a bus and went back to Panama City for another week or so. And as we were coming into Panama City, and we came out of the jungle and into the onto the main drag, there was this big theater there, movie house, and the marquee. On the marquee was the name "To Kill a Mockingbird." It's Alabama on the headlines again. Well, you know what that meant. So we reflected on that a while, I'll say at least. When I got home, my young people from Trinity Church in Homewood, Birmingham, met me at the airport and It was a Thursday, Friday night, and by Sunday night I was in the pulpit reporting on my trip, because the church paid for it. And all I can remember saying was telling them the story about To Kill a Mockingbird and how that had just flipped me. I was aware of what happened in my absence, and how I had been working side by side with the black colleagues, became friends, who could not understand how my larger family back home could be doing what it was doing. And what I had to confess is, nor can I understand it. And I must have reflected on the nature of the church and its lily white complexion and so forth. Not to say how power is so unevenly distributed.